Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from BlackRock Silver, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol BRC, and on the OTCQX under the symbol BKRRF. We are chatting with the President and CEO, Andrew Pollard. Now, BlackRock is focused on its Nevada portfolio of properties. A lot of what we're going to be talking about today is from the Tonopah West project. Now, the Tonopah West project has about 110,000 meters of drilling completed, and this is all leading to a maiden resource coming at the end of Q1 of this year. And on the, I guess, supporting that upcoming resource was another news release that was released just last week, February 17th, announcing drill results from a couple different areas on this Tonopah West project. We have some infill drill results from the DPB area. This is where that resource is going to come out of. We also have some step out holes from that DPB area, as well as new RC drilling from this newer Victor target. Andrew, let's just start off with the overall drill program that is building to this maiden resource. Just remind everybody the overall goals of this program and, again, how they are tying into the upcoming resource, please.
Yeah, no, thanks. That's a very good synopsis. As you said, Corey, we've drilled 110,000 meters, but what shouldn't be lost on people is that we've done all of that in about a year and a half. We only started drilling this thing in June of 2020, and that represents the first drilling on these targets, which we've now really brought some new life to. Historically, both the Victor area, which you mentioned, and the DPB area were commercial operations. They both shut down prematurely, at least that was our thesis, when metals prices tanked in the 1920s. Silver went from a dollar an ounce down to 35 cents an ounce in the span of about 3 years, and it sent these two really active vein zones on our property into receivership. They went belly up, and they've been hiding in plain sight, untouched, ever since they were picked up out of Chapter 11 in 1930 until we started drilling it. So we went in. We knew roughly where the this historic mining company was historically mining. We set up some initial drill program to target those veins. We since have established kilometers and kilometers worth of mineralization if you lay all the veins we've hit end to end. And now what we're doing with this infill program, and last year's we did 80,000 meters, 57,000 of that was infill drilling on our DPB zone. We've now established continuity between six different veins in this one area over a grid of 800 meters by 800 meters. And these are high-grade stuff. I guess biggest piece of news from last week's release was that everything is now in the bag. All infill drilling has been received by the company, and it's now in the hands of MDA, Mine Development Associates, who are putting together our maiden resource estimate on just this one area of our project. You know, another thing we mentioned too is that, you know, beyond this info program that we've done, this 800 meter by 800 meter area, we've now connected on multiple big step outs on multiple veins well beyond the resource envelope. We connected on 2 1.5 meter thick veins to the west of the resource, 250 meters. We've also connected to the east of the resource previously on a Bermuda vein, which is about 100 meters eastward. And our Merton vein, we've now connected 350 meters westward too. So this resource is really just a moment in time. But what this has done is it's going to allow us to show the market that this world-famous historic mining camp, it's got a lot of life left to give. We've established the continuity of these many veins here. Just in the last month, we've come out with other key things like metallurgy, which significantly de-risks this project from that perspective. It shows that it's not only is the drill intercepts high grade, but they're also highly recoverable. These are world-class recoveries that we're seeing, and it's amenable to cyanidation. Very keen to get this wrapped up in a pretty bow and out to market, hopefully sometime before the end of March.
Well, Andrew, it's an exciting time for the company, and we'll be following along for that maiden resource estimate. And you've got that 800 by 800 area defined that you're working on. You've got step-out drilling, as you mentioned, that's even increasing the strike. But I want to go over to the Victor vein here, because it sounds like most of the resource area, or all of the resource area, will be coming from the DPB area with that continuity of veins that you've already defined and done the step-out drilling on. But you've got some of these drill holes into the Victor vein. talk to us about that target and how that could be future expansion for this project.
Oh, yeah. No, you know, the Victor target was one of the most famous. Well, there's a big head frame that you see driving along the highway in Tonopah, which is the Victor head frame. And this was, you know, the size of it sort of shows just the how big of a vein system this truly was back historically. In fact, Victor historically was the thickest vein in the entire Tonopah Silver District. Where they stopped mining it in the mid-1920s, it was 24 meters thick. And the only reason they stopped was because they encountered water. And by the time they were able to install the heavy-duty water pumps and diesel generators, the debt they took out to fund all of that is what sunk the company. And really, it's been sitting untouched ever since. Now, we pointed our very first drill hole ever into the project. We aimed it about 20 meters beyond where they stopped drilling. And by golly, we hit 29 meters of a kilogram per ton silver equivalent, in addition to 2.5 meter new veins, which we discovered. Now, since then, we've now established 480 meters worth of strike all the way to the eastern property boundary of our property. And we've got multiple veins, which we tracked all the way there, probably 20 to 30 pierce points in them along the way. So we've got some good continuity there. And our neighbor to the east, a company called Suma Silver, has tracked those same veins another 300 meters or so on their property. So this is another big, big target. It's something that from a drill density perspective, I don't think we quite have it there to get it included in this resource, but certainly for future resources. I mean, there's huge blue sky opportunity there, which we've already cemented. I mean, we've drilled all the way along that this 480 meters. In fact, we put out results in this last news release here, where we pretty much set the drill rig up right on the eastern property boundary. So right up on the eastern property boundary that Suma Silver called us up and said, hey, why are you drilling our property? We said, nope, it's still on our side. But we've established it all the way from where it starts to where it ends, where property ends. So that's going to be low-hanging fruit for us to do to add for future resource expansions. But, you know, 480 meters at the grades we're hitting there, and those thicknesses that we're seeing, I mean, that's easy money from my perspective. But in terms of what we're going to be packaging up in the next month or so, it's going to be DPB and just this infill, just this 800 meter by 800 meter area. We've, as I said, already, we keep connecting on step outs. We're continuing to refine our model. We're understanding where these veins are projecting outward to. We've got some other step outs, which we've recently completed, which effectively go all the way to our northwestern property boundary, which are also in the lab right now. And we'll see if they keep, well, that would be about a kilometer beyond any previous drilling. And then, of course, we're also drilling these new claims to Tonopah North for new discoveries. And we've got an RC rig going there. So lots of activity in the next couple of months here between more step outs in the lab, more results from Victor. And obviously the big kahuna is going to be the resource, maiden resource by the end of March. So yeah, it's an exciting time for all of us here.
So Andrew, as much drilling as the company has already done, sounds like there's still a lot more exploration, potentially some new discoveries and building out on that DPB zone. But are there any, I guess, comparisons you can make to other gold and silver projects in this Walker Lane trend in terms of just how big this project could turn out to be? Because again, early on, especially with the maiden resource coming out, but what are some of the other projects that you see as parallels to this?
Well, there's really nothing like it. I mean, you know, the Tonopah Silver District is really a unique beast in its own. And that's because of the really silver dominant nature of this precious metals district. It's 100-to-1 silver to gold ratio historically in terms of what they're proving out in their mining. And if you look at our news release and you look at our drill table, you'll see that 100-to-1 silver to gold ratio is pretty much alive and well, you know, in most of that drilling. If we drill 3 grams gold, you'll see roughly 300 grams silver in that same drill hole in most of those things. So this silver primary pure play precious metal system is very, very rare. It's something that the closest analogs would be, it would compare to a lot of other, say, Mexican silver vein fields. You know, Silvercrest's Las Chispas project would be very comparable, both in terms of grades and in terms of vein widths. You know, I think they average about 80-to-1 silver to gold ratio, whereas we're about 100-to-1, but they're hitting similar widths, similar grades, and really similar story. They consolidated a historic silver district in Mexico and started turning it to Swiss cheese. So have we, only we're in private land in Nevada, walking distance to a town and about a 3-hour drive from Vegas. So I'll take our jurisdiction any day here. But there's really nothing like it. I mean, that's the thing is most silver production globally comes from South and Central America. And those also happen to be the places that, you know, most silver primary companies are looking to divest or get out of or offset jurisdictional risk. So, you know, the many other companies, well, not the many, the few other silver primary companies out there putting out good results, you know, they're not going to command that M&A premium that we are. They're not going to, you know, we're not going to have blockades at our project. We're not going to have the government coming to us for royalties or playing games with environmental permits. You know, these ounces are not only high grade, they're close to infrastructure and great jurisdiction. But the best part is we're not Mexico and we're not Peru. We're Vegas, baby.
That is a good part, Andrew. And yeah, there's probably not as many blockades or cartel activity in Nevada as there are in South America. And a lot of people forget Nevada was actually made famous for being the silver state. It's really the silver history there that is really what brought mining to the area. Although most people think about the gold mining there, there's still that rich history of silver production out of Nevada. But one thing you brought up there in the comparison to Las Chispas from Silvercrest was the very high grade nature, but the narrow veins. One of the knocks I've heard against this area, Andrew, and maybe you can address it, is that these are such narrow intercepts. But like you just highlighted, there's infrastructure advantages, there's cost advantages. Could you maybe talk to that point? And like, yes, they are narrow intercepts, but because of the high grade, you still believe there's continuity and an economic resource.
Oh, for sure. Well, certainly on this last news release, lots of those intercepts were skinny. Now, what's nice about these intercepts is that the grade's very forgiving. Now, this isn't what we're averaging here. I mean, we're averaging well north of a meter. In fact, many of our biggest veins are averaging about 3 meters thickness. That would be our Merton vein or Bermuda vein. And that's where the plurality of ounces are going to be. But when you're talking about kilometers and kilometers of these veins between, say, a meter to 3 meters thick in this resource area, at the grades we're talking about, that turns into a lot of a lot of ounces and a little bit of tons. What it's looking like. I mean, so Las Chispas, for example in Mexico, they're probably one of the best performing silver explorers and developers in the last few years, currently commanding about $8 or $9 an ounce in the ground US. Their veins there average about a meter and a half to 2 meters thick. So do ours. It's about a confluence of results. So effectively, you know, these vein systems, they're going to blow out in certain areas, they're going to pinch and they're going to swell. So you're not going to see a uniform contour all along the way of something that's just, you know, averaging, you know, it's not going to be uniform. There's going to be areas where, you know, it blows out to 12 meters. There's going to be other areas where it's sub a meter, but the grade should be forgiving and it should sort of offset it from an incremental basis. So that's what we've established now. We've done 57,000 meters of infill drilling. From a continuity and perspective, you know, this isn't a new discovery we've made. They were mining these things historically. It's something that we think this resource will go a long way in helping to refute maybe some of those fears in terms of in terms of this at first pass, I guess.
All right, Andrew, can you just remind everybody then of general cash in the bank and the drill program? It sounds like drills are still turning. So do you guys have a general meterage number that you have in mind for this phase, whatever phase you're calling it, of the current drill program?
Well, we did the hard yards with all our drilling last year for the infill program and the step-up program. So we did 80,000 meters last year, and we had 4 drill rigs at site. Now what we're doing is recalibrating. You know, we've got 1 drill rig. It's an RC rig, which is testing these new claims called Tonopah North, which follow the caldera margin, which all of the mineralization in Tonopah seems to follow around to the north of our property. So we're doing some scout RC drilling up there. That's cheap as chips for us in the hunt for new mineralization while we wait for the resource to be delivered next month. And then from there, we'll probably look to lay out a phase 2 resource expansion program, connecting the dots on some of these step outs, which we already know are there. And we've also got some other step outs in the lab right now from Tonopah West as well. So, you know, we haven't really laid out, I guess, a phase two program yet, because we're still waiting for the last of these step out holes to come back. And of course, we want to see what we hit at Tonopah North before we lay out subsequent program there. But for now, I mean, it's just, hopefully backstop evaluation with this resource and hopefully be poised for a nice re-rate. And then, of course, we've got these step outs and potential new discoveries with results expected probably sometime in March, April, May for all that drilling. So, yeah, lots to look forward to here in the short term.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of work still on the go. But again, that resource, the maiden resource coming up in the near term. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Andrew regarding the drilling that's going on, any insights on that resource or anything else when it comes to the company's projects in Nevada, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will follow up with Andrew, especially on the back of some more news, and get those questions answered for you. Andrew, thank you for your time. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you.